Accession number 28661, Mr. Ray Crisford, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Crisford?
I was born in Eastbourne on the 4th of June, 1922.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? What sort of background are you from?
Well, my father was in the building industry as a builder's merchant. He set up in business with the man that really brought him up, which was his great-uncle, my great-great-uncle, who was an architect. My father had served in the First World War in the artillery. He got married in 1916, he got married. My older brother was born in 1918, I was born in 1922 in Eastbourne. And he was a builder's merchant until he retired.
Did he talk much about his war experiences, you know?
No, he was a bit like me and most of us who were in the Second World War, that I could no more talk about what had happened to me until quite recently. I think this is quite common. My family have been on at me to try and write down everything that's happened, and I keep telling them, yes, I'll get round to it.
You are now. You are now, in a sense.
I've talked about it publicly several times, but not really very much.
Now, was it a comfortable upbringing?
Yes, I went to a private school in Eastbourne called Roebra. It was quite a small private school. And the old boys, the school closed in 1940, believe it or not, and the old boys association is still going strong. I mean, we're dying like flies, but what few of the left...
What kind of a school was it? Can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, it was two brothers who came up from Devon and started the school in 1904. And they retired while I was still at the school. They were mad keen on football and cricket, sport generally. We even had two famous sportsmen in the school. One was Freddie Milton, who was a swimmer in the 1936 Olympics and carried the flag in Berlin, you know, the famous one where old Hitler was there. And a chap by the name of Norman Addison, who rode for Cambridge in 1938, was it? And he'd never rode before. He went to Cambridge and he got into the crew. He's still alive.
Now, this was a preparatory school, was it?
No.
Or was it an actual...
A normal boys' school. I went to when I was about 8, having been to a little preparatory school in Enies Road in Eastbourne, run by the Mrs. Green, two sisters. And believe it or not, I can remember they used to have a little slate and write on it. There was no blackboard or anything. And that's my beginning. And I went to Roebra when I was 8.
And stayed there through
And stayed right throughout until early 39 when I left school.
Now, what type of an education did you get there? I mean, how good was it as an actual school, do you think?
Well, all of us think we had a wonderful education, not just learning the three R's, but coming out, hopefully, as what we might call an all-rounded citizen. We were very proud of the school and still are.
Were you a day boy or was it?
Day boy, yep. I used to cycle to school every day.
And what subjects did you like or dislike, if you see what I mean? Because that sort of makes apparent what...
We had a wonderful geography teacher, and that made me interested. We also had a wonderful maths teacher, who in fact was named Oliver Gilbert. Doesn't matter his name. Forget now. Holbert. Oliver Holbert. He had been one of the four original pupils that went to the school in 1904 when it first opened. And he had a wonderful knack of being able to teach elementary maths and more advanced maths as we got older. And I found it so easy to learn maths from him. And I've been interested in figures ever since. I'm really a frustrated accountant.
And any other subjects you liked or disliked?
Geography, history.
They're the ones you like. What did you dislike? Were
Latin. Didn't like Latin much. And I suppose I wasn't all that clever at French.
But so languages were the weaker side for you.
Yeah.
Was it sort of a progressive school, or was it just the old-fashioned methods?
Oh, very much the old-fashioned methods, where, I mean, both the headmasters didn't have to say anything to you. All they had to do was look at you, and you knew, and you did as you're told. And the worst experience was having to report to stand outside the headmaster's study, where all the school could see you, and you knew darn well you were going to get a tanning. Six of the best.
What about sport at the school? I mean, it was obviously a big thing. Were you involved? What were your sports?
Well, particularly cricket. And I've been interested in cricket all my life, and I've been involved in cricket, both as a player, and that's always a result of my schooling. I was a reasonable club cricketer, nothing very special.
Batsman, bowler?
Well, I used to think of myself as a wicketkeeper come batsman. And I've got a broken nose and a broken finger to prove it.
And did you just play for the school, or did you play for sort of village teams as well?
Yes.
Then?
Not until after the war. And I played when I was still living in Eastbourne.
Now, what about, did the school have an OTC, Officers Training Corps?
They did, but it had packed up by the time I got there. It was very much a post-First World War. And when the two headmasters were getting a bit more elderly, I think the OTC packed up. My brother was in it, but he was 4 years, 5 years older than I am.
Now, what qualifications did you come out? You finished in 39 when you were sort of 17-ish.
Yeah.
What qualifications had you got?
Well, I had the Cambridge School Certificate, which was the standard sort of level of education that you ended up with.
And what were the plans? What were your father's and your plans for you, for your family and your plans for you? I mean, obviously the war's going to loom up very soon, but I mean, I presume you finished in July.
My father knew that I wanted to be involved with figures. He felt, and I don't, that he hadn't got the financial resources himself at the time to allow me to go on to become an accountant. So he felt, rightly or wrongly, that the best thing for me to do was to become a bank clerk. And I joined Barclays Bank in April 1939 in Eastbourne.
Now tell me a bit about working as a bank clerk. How did you find it?
Well, I soon learned to add up quickly, because in those days that particular branch was not mechanised at all. Everything was handwritten, even listing cheques and goodness knows what. So elementary maths was essential.
Did you find the work congenial? Did you like it in the bank?
Yes, I did, yeah. And of course, in those days, your ambition really to begin with was to become a bank cashier. You were in the road to promotion then, a bit different from today, where you've got young girls sort of, they don't even have to count the notes now, do they? Just put it and weigh it. And
But you enjoyed it.
I did, yes.
Now, what about the approach of war? Did you have any, you were about 17, did you have any perception that war was coming? Were you political at all and recognised a threat from Germany?
Yes, indeed. My father was worried stiff. My brother, who was there much older than me, joined the, what do you call it, the auxiliary, you know.
TA, Territorial Army.
Territorial, thank you, couldn't think of the word. Territorial Army in 1938, Munich. In the summer of 38, but of course I was too young. And I was in Eastbourne the day war broke out. I can remember that day very, very clearly.
Tell us about it, because we're always interested in the day war broke out. What happened?
It was a lovely Sunday morning. I can remember, like everybody else in the country, listened to Neville Chamberlain saying, "We are now at war." And the next thing that happened was the air raid siren went off, and we all disappeared into the cellar for an hour or two. And I had a school friend from London staying with me at the time. And I can remember after lunch, we went down, as we very often did, walked along the seafront of Eastbourne, and there was people madly filling sandbags with sand. And Derek and I helped fill the sandbags up until we were worn out and went home. And that was the day war broke out.
And what did you think would happen? I mean, how much did you think you were right in the right age to be called up? You know, if there's a war, you're what, 17? You're going to be involved if it lasts a year or even 6 months. Mm. How did you feel? I mean, was it something you looked forward to or dreaded, or what did you feel?
Well, my brother, of course, being in the Terriers, was called up, and in fact he went to France early in the war, the phony war, and he was involved, one of the last to come back, Dunkirk. But early on we had quite a lot of air raids in Eastbourne, because the Jerrys used to fly over and use Beachy Head as a sort of a signpost almost. And we had a lot of hit and run raiders.
Now, did you have any air raid precautions? I.e., did you have a shelter, an Anderson or a Morrison indoor one?
We had where I lived, my father's house. We had a cellar, and we had I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was a shelter of steel wire thing. Was it
Morrison shelter?
Would have been a Morrison. Yeah. Well,
like a table, only lower.
That's right. Yes.
Was that in? Had you put that in the cellar?
That was in the cellar.
And that's where you went.
It was pretty cozy at night. Then, of course, the next thing that happened.
Now, what were the air raids like? What do you remember of the air raids?
Well, one accepted them as something that was going to happen somehow. I don't know. I can't. My memories. I was working in Barclays Bank in Terminus Road, and about 100 yards away, there was a firm called Plummer Roddice that had a direct hit. And the bank filled up with smoke, and we all had to disappear downstairs. And one of my sillier memories was I was whistling, I think, or doing something, either singing or humming, and the bank manager told me to shut up. Get downstairs, Crisford. I was only, I wasn't 18, I don't suppose, by then. But I suppose, like most youngsters, it was pretty exciting, really.
Was there much damage done to Eastbourne,
Yes, quite a lot. My father was an air raid, in the air raid ambulance service. He used to drive part-time an ambulance at night. And if there was an air raid, he got called out. I mean, he had no medical training or anything. He just drove the ambulance.
Anything? Any close escapes, or was that the closest, the bank incident?
Yes. There was a close escape for my father later on in the war, but that's another story. I can remember once upstairs in the bathroom at home, when the air raid siren had gone, and I was gazing out the window, and I saw two bombers come down, and they bombed Eastbourne Gasworks. I don't remember being frightened, or I have very little recollection of what happened, really, except that I witnessed the bombs going down. There was a lot of damage in Eastbourne. I think for the size of the town, they had as much damage as anywhere.
Now, you were working at the bank.
Yep.
Now, did you volunteer for any of the sort of voluntary organisations at that stage?
Yep, I joined the local defence volunteers the day after Anthony Eden announced it. And I can't remember when that was now, but I think it was 1940.
Round about Dunkirk time, wasn't it?
I think it was, yes.
That they became the Home Guard.
They then became the Home Guard.
Now, where were they based? Did they have a regiment, you know, they were affiliated to? Or?
Well, I know where we had to parade, which was Willingdon Golf Club. And we used to have to walk from there up to the hills above with a rifle and I think about 5 rounds of ammunition. What we were supposed to do if Jerry's had arrived, I don't really know. But
now, let me ask for how did what happened when they first formed it? You know, how did they actually go about forming it? Do you remember the very early days of the LDV?
Yes, we paraded at a school that had long since been evacuated. Can't remember the name of it, but it was in Eastbourne, and we used to go up there do drill and mess about with rifles. Never
did you actually get a rifle and uniform kitted out properly early on, or did it take a while?
No, it was for a long time we had no ammunition or a rifle, but we eventually got them. I think I had 5 rounds and an old Lee Enfield First World War, I think it was, rifle.
And
never fired it in anger.
What about uniform?
Oh, yes, we had a uniform. Yeah.
A proper khaki.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a bit Dad's army, but...
Now, what sort of training did you get?
I suppose the short answer is not a lot. We were drilled by a man named Miller, who I know my father knew very well, and he had been in the Coldstream Guards in the First World War, so he knew about left, right, and shoulder arms and what have you, trying to teach us discipline.
No chance to fire the rifle when you got them, though.
Sorry?
No chance to actually shoot, no weapons training.
No, I don't think we did. No. I mean, Captain Mannering would have been very proud of us, I'm sure.
And you were based at Willingdon Golf Club. That's where
that was our so-called headquarters. Yeah.
And what sort of activities did you have? What sort of patrols and standing patrols? You mentioned going up on the hill.
Well, from Willingdon, we used to go up what they called Tut's Barn. Was it? It was a hill going up from the Willingdon Golf Club to the top there, where you got, in daylight obviously, very good views, but we had to march up, which took about 20 minutes, I suppose, in turns, doing 2 hours on and 2 hours off throughout the night. And then at daylight we disbanded, went home for an hour's kip, and then went to work.
And did anything ever happen when you were on sort of on duty on the hill?
No. Aircraft used to fly over. Jerry's used to come over regularly. But nothing ever happened. I'm not really quite certain what we were supposed to do if something had happened.
Were you looking for parachutists and things? Or
well, I presume that's what it was, yes. My memory of that is a bit dim, quite frankly. I used to thoroughly enjoy it as a youngster. Because I teamed up with a lovely man by the name of Wilf Wooler, who was the groundsman at the Saffron's Cricket Ground in Eastbourne. And because even in those days I was passionate about cricket, I used to talk to him about cricket and the ground, and he was a lovely man, long since dead.
Was he in the Home Guard
the
as
Home
well?
Guard. Oh, yes.
Is that the Wilf Wooler who was with Glamorgan?
No.
No, right, okay.
No, I'm not sure it was any... It's just
a coincidence. It's a common enough name.
Yeah.
And so you'd go on these sort of night patrols up onto the hill, or standing patrols, you know. What else would you do? I mean, would you do any coast defences or...?
No. Not in our particular platoon. I suppose there was only about 20 of us altogether, I think.
Now, what time? Were they all young lads like yourself, or were they...
No, I was...
Were a lot of veterans?
Of my particular group, I was the only youngster. Most of them were... One or two were First World War veterans that had volunteered. Mostly, like Wilf Willow was 40-ish. 50, perhaps, even. I don't know. As I say, my memory of those days is somewhat limited.
But nothing particularly happened, as far as the guard duties up on the hill, and that's a bit of training, and that's all you remember about it, really.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, anything else you remember of? So there's the LDV, Home Guard. Anything else you were in? Not in any of the local... the wardens.
No.
ARP, sorry.
No. Nothing to do with that at all.
So just the bank and the Home Guard, basically.
Yep.
Now, how long was this going on for?
Well, I joined, as I say, the very first day that it was possible to join, and remained in that until I joined the RAF in 1941.
How did you come to join the RAF? What was the way you were recruited or called up?
Well, I suppose, if I'm honest, it was due to the Battle of Britain, a lot of which took place above us on the coast. And I think I was young and stupid enough to think, God, I'd love to do that.
What could you see of it? You haven't mentioned
well,
it.
Well, you sort of... the trails, and you could hear the firing going on. I can remember seeing a plane come down, whether it was... or watched it go down, whether it was a Jerry or one of ours or not, I don't know. But I think it came down somewhere near Pevensey. But that was the only time I ever saw anything down. But you saw, I mean, there were aircraft flying about all over the place. And I thought I would love to do that.
Now, did you wait to be called up or did you volunteer?
No, I volunteered. I wanted to join in 1940, just after the Battle of Britain, and in lots of ways, I suppose, sensibly, my father and my boss, the local director of the bank, was a man by the name of Lionel Turner, who had been a colonel in the First World War, and he and my father got together and said, this lad's too young to go off and get himself killed. So I was persuaded to wait 12 months until I was 19. What difference that was going to make, I don't know, but...
So when did you volunteer?
I volunteered during the winter of early part of 1941.
So January-ish?
Something like that, yeah. I know it was winter.
And how did you actually go about volunteering? What was the process that took you in? You know?
I contacted the recruiting centre in Brighton, in Queen's Road, and... they wrote and gave me an appointment, like most people that had volunteered. And I can remember getting the day off from the bank to go over to Brighton and ask the usual questions. Why do you want to join the RAF? Because I want to be a pilot and a medical.
Strict? Or, you know, there's different types of medical. There's some that are just a... nod through, and the others where they actually look at you?
Well, I suppose it was halfway, I think, from memory. I think they tested my eyes, my hearing. I'll be quite honest, I don't remember that medical all that much, but it was not very thorough. The fact that I'd got two legs, two arms, and all the other bits was good enough. And then I went home.
Any intelligence tests? Or academic, you know, educational tests?
I don't believe so. From memory. Mind you, I did later on when I had to go to Uxbridge.
So what happened next then? You went back home from Brighton?
Yeah. And then I was called up to Uxbridge for a full medical and a proper interview, and I can remember there were three interviewing me.
This is RAF, the station.
Oh yes, yeah.
And what was? Is it the receiving centre? What was you actually joining here, or was this?
Oh,
part
no, no.
Of
this was part of the. Process of being accepted to train as a pilot, and I can remember the medical was pretty thorough, and I seem to remember the interview itself went on for quite some time. They wanted to know background and who I was and what I was, and again, why do you want to get yourself killed as a pilot? But you never thought that was going to happen to you. It was always the other bloke. And then on July the 7th 1941, I was called to report to Lord's Cricket Ground.
That's the RAF, is it the Air Crew Reception Centre?
That's right, yeah, Lord's Cricket Ground.
Now, what happened when you went there? That's July 41.
Yeah, the 7th of July, if I remember rightly. And you were then taken from there. I mean, all you did was to parade on the cricket ground itself. And nothing really happened except that you were divided up alphabetically, I remember, and marched off in groups of 40 or 50. And along Maida Vale, near the entrance to the zoo, London Zoo, there were a whole long row of flats that had been built just before the war and never been occupied. And we were billeted in there. You had three palliasses and a blanket. Slept on the floor. There was water laid on, but no hot water. It was just cold. So it was all pretty basic. And we had to parade and queue up, because there were hundreds of us, to eat in the restaurant of the zoo, which had been taken over by the RAF. And I can remember very distinctly the thing that about the food there, or rather the drink, because the tea had been laced with masses of bromide to stop the natural urges of young lads. I'm not sure it worked, but that's what they did. Then we got a uniform.
Now, tell me what the kit that was while you were there. What did they kit you out with? What was your first RAF uniform thing? You know what?
Well, you had RAF sort of battle dress, shirts, vest, pants, boots, socks, an RAF tie, which was just black. And then a proper RAF jacket, I suppose you'd call it, I don't know, tunic, and a hat. What do you call the things? Not really a peak cap, you know, a tri-cornered thing.
Fore and aft, I think they call
them. Yeah, a fore and aft, yeah, that'll do.
I know the ones you mean.
Yeah.
They can look it up.
Yeah. And then a few days later, we didn't really do very much there at all.
Any drill?
I don't think we had. The only drill was to form up to march off to meals, which was chaotic, because I can remember on one day when we were late for the meal, when we'd finished our lunch, we joined the queue to have tea.
What about any bombing going on? Any air raids?
I don't recall any in London then.
Now, how long were you there? Though?
Oh, 10 days, fortnight.
And no real training, just...
Nothing really, no. Sort of twiddling your thumbs, waiting for something to happen.